Amen. Amen and amen. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. We got quite a few people that have joined us on the radio, but it seems a lot of people left on the stream, thinking that we were done, I guess. I don't know. Hopefully they'll come back, but please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us once again with your presence. As you say, whenever two or more are gathered, that you're there in the midst, and it's a lot more than two or more here. And so thank you, Father, for blessing us. Please continue to bless us throughout this sermon hour, if you will, with changing of the showbread as well as the remainder of the Sabbath day, so that we can grow as you intend us to grow each and every time we gather with you. And thank you for blessing everybody on our prayer list again, Father, and those that were mentioned in the chat room earlier for children's study and then, of course, the adult study. We love you, Father, and we thank you for teaching us how to love you first. And thank you for hearing this prayer and blessing us in the name of your Son, our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. But yeah, Sean just sent me a PM saying that there's a Seventh-day Adventist out there that said that they used that passage that I was talking about in regards to how they should all keep God's law so as to heal the land for the COVID-19 thing. And that's why, we saw that coming a long time ago. I mean, many, many, many years ago. I don't even know how many years ago it was I put that religious laws are coming page up. But before that, we had the Mark of the Beast page and all that other stuff. We already knew that this is exactly how to do it, as well as the climate change page. But the only reason I mention things like this is for the sake of those that are not quite on the exact same page we are, but they're kind of leaning towards falling off the fence into our backyard. Eventually, the Lord's going to take these seeds that we're planting and water them with some other preachers and Christians, in the coming months, to the point that when it is absolutely necessary, the Lord will give an increase, and then they'll remember what was said here, and they'll start to realize. As a matter of fact, a lot of people are, with the emails that I've been getting and the calls about in regards to all that's been happening the last couple of months, a lot of them are shocked in regards to how everyone in this church family saw this coming. We all knew it. This is what we've been, if they look at our videos and our pages and our tracks, and they always have this, not all of them, but some of them always have that one question: how did you guys know? I says, well, study your Bible. It's just that easy. Just study your Bible. So anyway, and as we continue this, what is this, part four, I think? Yeah, part four, a warning from Malachi. That's what today's sermon's about. And so continuing on in this final warning unto the church at large, I'm just going to read the first three verses of Malachi chapter 2, because that's more or less the text of this sermon. I'm going to jump around the Bible a little bit as well, but I got the notes are in down there below. And for those of you listening on the stream, I'll put it in the stream, the link to get to these notes, so that you can read along. There's not a lot of Bible verses this time. There's enough. Let me just see how far down it goes. Yeah, there's enough. I end up in Isaiah at the end of it all. And so, but continuing on, let's read Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, which says this: "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it." Just as the Lord, who never changes, deals with the corrupt and lost souls of today as he did back then, so does Satan tempt in the same way, because as the truth combats the lies he presents, the enemy of souls has to use the same methods that he knows has worked the last 6,000 years. And since mankind bowed to him back then, he knows they're going to easily do so today in the same way. and especially so when he has figured out a way to use technology against mankind, and everything from the entertainment industry. And there's a reason, by the way, Sister Janice, or Janet, sorry if I'm messing up your name there, but sent me a video. It's about an hour and a half long, and it's amazing. I may share it, but you got to be careful. Towards the end of the video, they start talking about how the politicians and leaders in our world actually have these satanic parties where they'll have cakes formed in the shape of human, naked humans. And they're anatomically correct, and so this stuff is going to be on screen. But it's amazing how, if you just look at the way television comes, look at the word. It's tell you a vision. So tell a vision. It all has to do with like channeling and manifestations, and that's why you have TV channels. All right? And there's a reason, like with brainwashing and indoctrination, this is why a television show is called a television program, because they're programming you. And this is why, we were just talking about this last night with the grandkids, about how, because I was saying, did your moms tell you about what happened when, we were living in a 1,011-day house, and, like everybody knows, I got 8 kids, and so there's 10 of us in this little 2-bedroom kitchenette, and the bedrooms were big enough to hold a queen-size mattress wall-to-wall. Literally, you didn't have any end tables. On one side of the wall, the mattress touched, the other side it touched. That was our trial for that 1,011 days. But during that time, the Lord moved in mighty ways. I actually started pulpit preaching back then as well, during that time. But there was a time out of, I think it was 4 out of the 8 kids, because a lot of the kids were very, very young, but 4 out of the 8 kids and myself all had the exact same dream that night, one night. And it was about television sets in our room, because we had 6 TVs, even though they were in storage at the time, whenever we lived somewhere, there was a TV everywhere but the bathroom. And, the Lord was telling us, in this dream, we all had the exact same dream about a television with blood coming out of the screen. They're programming people. They're getting everybody. I mean, think about it. Especially with today's world, when you look at the this COVID plandemic, there's a lot of doctors out there. As a matter of fact, you all heard about those 2 doctors that went out there with this, warning the people that what they're saying in the media is not what's in reality. That hospitals are empty, and this thing is just like a common cold or a kind of a rough flu. If you're in your 70s, the majority of the people that die are in their 70s or older. And it's very mild, and they pulled them off YouTube. They're censoring the daylights out of them. They shut us down for 2 weeks. In fact, us down, using another video as a bogus reason, but we were getting hot and heavy in regards to exposing things in regards to the plandemic when I started doing the Monday and Wednesday night live streams on YouTube. Not just doing a regular video a week, but doing live streams as well. And so again, Satan figured out a way to use technology against us, and he does it with the entertainment industry, and like special effects movies that cross moral boundaries of imagination like never before. He's also been able to make sure that each person with a cell phone grants him all the power he needs in regards to tempting them each time they pick up their cell phone. Long gone are the days wherein picking up the phone meant talking to a friend, loved one, or even an annoying bill collector, let's say. Even before, see, that's one of the things I liked about caller ID. I never had 2 nickels rubbed together back then. And so a lot of times the phone would ring, I'd pick it up, and it's a bill collector. And they were unrelenting, as you all know, right? Anybody that's had to deal with them. But now with the caller ID, you just don't pick up the phone. If you don't know the number, you don't pick it up, because now we get the telemarketers that are inundating people. And so nowadays, picking up a phone can grant each person doing all sorts of means that can help them delve deeply into sin. But I digress. And sure, one may be confused by looking back in time when they see the 90-foot statue in the prophet Daniel's day, wherein the people bowed in worship to it after the government of the day played all sorts of music, prodding them to accept the image as sanctioned and proper. But I ask, when was the last time anyone ever attended a sports arena And I've never, well, when I was a kid once, I think I went to a Sox game, Chicago White Sox game, because brother-in-law, well, now he was just dating my sister at the time, took us there. But I've never, ever, ever gone. Even in high school, I never did the sports thing. I mean, I played them with my buddies and stuff, but yeah, I never went to go watch someone else play. But when was the last time you ever went to a sports arena or even watched it on TV wherein the gods of gold, competition, and violence are still offered up as proper deities of worship? And before the games commence, including the Olympics, where also the gambling is shored up with mountains of cash per game. We all know about that. You know, there's tons of money, I mean, especially in Las Vegas. What do they always experience before each and every single solitary game? What's always done? Government music. That's right. A national anthem. Satan doesn't care if it's not the exact same 90-foot statue as long as the concept of idol worship remains intact. And being the angel of music, he's got to get his say. He's very capable of masking his methods of attack as Scripture outlines. And today, where hardly anyone opens a Bible, none are aware that they're all being mesmerized by all of it. Worse yet, some high school games still start with a prayer to a twisted representation of our God, who we know disapproves of the violence and the gambling that attends these games that these kids are playing. They pray to him, but he hears not a single word. For historic fact confirms, games like this began in the Colosseum of Rome with the blood of Christians being spilled as entertainment. And as students of the Word, we all know what our Lord thinks of such prayers as these. For it is written in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15, that when you spread forth your hands, you know, because we don't close our hands like the pagans do. We spread them forth with holy, you know, with holy hands upward, with your palms upward, to accept the blessing. So I will not hear, he says, your hands are full of blood. And so just as a person standing near a murderer is guilty by association, so are those that echo such prayers that start, that started back with the high school games or the or whatever. I mean, they're guilty as well. And yes, quite often blood is spilled in sports, and especially in the violent sports. You know, I mean, all denominations have taken part in such prayers and open sanctification of drunken debauchery, violence, fornication, and even death when someone dies on the field, in a boxing ring, or at a racetrack. In fact, just last February of this year, the Seventh-day Adventist Church and their medical counterparts, Advent Health, agreed to join hands with Daytona International Speedway, where not only drunken debauchery was being sold, like beer and whatnot, scantily clad women who tempt men to break commandment number 7 were all over the place. And of course, there's gambling. That's how they make their money at these racetracks, the gambling, as well as advertising the booze and all this other stuff. They even have a day dedicated to beer every week. And so the SDAs did this for 2 straight weeks. And so for, you know, twice, they took part in Bush Day or Bush Beer Day, or I can't remember exactly what it was called, but I did a video about it. And also you got the devil's music. It's got to be there. You got the anthem at the start, of course, the national anthem like they did in Nebuchadnezzar's day, as well as the devil's music. And you got the heavy metal head-banging rock and all this other stuff. And even extreme violence, which, by the way, during this SDA debacle, it sent a man to the hospital after a major crash on the track. Not only did the SDA church sponsor this event by not condemning their associations, you know, in Advent Health, they sponsored all of it for 2 weeks, wherein they did all this on 2 consecutive Sabbath days. They had to be there, otherwise they would have lost their license to be there. So they were there on Sabbath, selling and buying and partying and committing, you know, adultery with their eyes. And I mean, worse yet, after defiling the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, these wolves in sheep's clothing actually held a Roman Catholic Mass on Sunday under the Advent Health banner at the track. They actually soiled the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, the living God, and uplifted the Sabbath of Satan instead. And all of this was done using the Seventh-day Adventist name. And the video that I made about this is in the sermon notes box on the bottom where I got links. It's the only link I put in there this week. And so, echoing the verses from Malachi that I shared a moment ago. Oh, and by the way, I want to mention something here too. Please keep this troll that likes to come and attack us in prayer. When I turned the stream on, I noticed there was like one or two people in the stream. It just was just people were just starting to file in, and bam, instantly it got a thumbs down. Not a word was said yet. Not a word. What did Jesus say about every idle word? He is putting a thumbs down on everything that we're mentioning today. So every bit of truth that we proclaim to him is a lie. He's going to be held accountable for that. So please pray he repents. He's in a heap of trouble with what he's doing here. Thanks, SDR Asia. Yeah, there's the notes for today's... you can get to the link on the bottom of those notes. And so, echoing the verses from Malachi that I shared a moment ago, these leaders in the church refused to give glory unto the name, or unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts. They gave glory unto Rome's name with that Sunday Sabbath. And because they refused to do so, as prophesied in the past, it has been prophesied for today that the Lord will again send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. How can anyone lay to heart anything our Lord has to offer when they obey such leaders who defile his Sabbath and uphold the counterfeit Sabbaths of the man of sin in Rome? How can these people not know to get out of that church? They not only defiled the true Sabbath with their drunken debauchery and bodily harm unto the temple of God by contorting all that is offered at these sinful gatherings, while at the same time claiming to be all about the health message or protecting the human temple. I mean, come on, there's beer being sold, pork chops, and all sorts of disgusting things that give cancer onto the human system, and a man gets seriously injured at the car crash at a racetrack. You know, but they're condoning, you know, all of it, even though they're hypocrites. They're supposed to be about the health message, you know, and protecting the human temple. They're hypocrites. They're whitewashed tombs. That's all they are. They did not invite a single soul to worship the true God on his holy day there. Not one. They didn't even hold a short Sabbath service anywhere in the area for either of those two Sabbaths that they defiled by buying and selling on Sabbath day and taking part in debauchery. Instead, they made the true Sabbath look like it was worthless to all that attended the racetrack and then uplifted the Roman Catholic Sabbath to appear holy. And so in doing, they invited countless souls to join them into the arms of Rome that very day, which was the plan. The Seventh-day Adventist Church is no longer a Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's a Roman SDA church. This is why they tried to get me thrown behind bars years ago for making a single page on my website about the Roman SDA church. And so the Lord declares his judgment upon them, as he did of old, when continuing in that passage from Malachi chapter 2, verse 3, he says through his prophet, "Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it." And yes, their feasts are well known now. They are exposed by their sanctioning of dozens of Sunday-keeping Seventh-day Adventist churches into their number, and in so doing have declared the Roman Sabbath as their main feast day when they decreed it as such on February 9th, 2020 at Daytona International Speedway, directly after defiling the Sabbath of the true God the previous day and the previous week. So they did it twice. These apostate men, with all the other fallen churches of the world, also embrace pagan holy days, or holidays as they call them today. They embrace Christmas. They embrace Easter. They even have Seventh-day Adventist Lent services, and even Halloween. And so that's their lot. They are cursed. For the demons that moved their forefathers in Malachi's day are just as much as alive and active in our day, and by their fruits we know them. And so we are to expect this as the norm. As prophesied, their feast days are just as loathsome unto the Lord as dung is, and this is why it is even upon their faces. For when the Lord looks upon them from above, he does not see the face of his precious son. This is what Malachi is warning them about. No, he sees them engrossed in all the world, all that the world has to offer, which, as we know, is nothing more than that which rots and rusts, right? Or, as the Lord calls it, dung. I mean, what happens during the 1,000 years? All that they planned and all that they built, it just rots and rusts. For this is their decision. And when they walk in the ways of death, then they will appear as dung unto the Lord, who will make them as such at the end of plague number 7, if they don't already die in plague number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Because those plagues are universal, even though they changed their spirit of prophecy books, and they said in those spirit of prophecy books that the plagues are not universal. They come up in little pockets here and there. No, if you read the original book, you'll see that, yeah, these plagues are global, and they don't end. In other words, if you're alive, if you get a boil, and you're part of the problem, and let's say you get the boils, and let's say you're still alive in plague number 6, you still got the boils. They ain't going away. And so with all this, their true God, Beelzebub, can have his 1,000 years of ruling and wandering over them as they lay as dung upon the ground. That's the warning. I mean, what they have upon their faces now is nothing more than a preamble of what is to come of them and anyone in their apostate churches that refuse to hear the call to come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. And for those SDAs that are present now that think that spirit of prophecy doesn't say you need to come out of that Babylonian church, I'm not saying that Seventh-day Adventist Church is the whore of Babylon. That's the Catholic Church. We've got that down to a science. We know what we're looking at there. But the prophecy's clear. The dragon is not, he's only angry at you now because of what you did during the ninth hour. He's making war with the remnant of your seed. He's going after us because we're doing the work and you're not. And as you will notice, the dung that's thrown upon their faces has made the leaders unclean in all the churches. And therefore, whatever they offer in prayer or sacrifice is considered unclean and loathsome unto the Lord our God. The church has been taken over. And it's not just the SDA church. All of them have been taken over. It's just that the SDA church was taken over recently. Yeah. But there's a ton of statements in the spirit of prophecy. I've got it on my sister site at sdaapostasy.org, where it says in the spirit of prophecy that the Seventh-day Adventist church will become a sister to Babylon. It will be Babylon like all the other churches are. It won't be the Babylon, but it'll be one of the daughters of the harlot. But those statements have been removed from the spirit of prophecy. That's why I made 13 different videos, even though I could have made 30 or so. Well, actually 300 or so. There's quite a bit of things that have been removed from the spirit of prophecy books. It's just like with the bogus Bibles page on my website. Thousands of verses have been removed from the Bibles, from the King James Bible, and that's why you got your NIVs and your NASBs out there, because certain things they don't want you to hear. And so again, the dung thrown upon the faces has made the leaders unclean, and so whatever they offer in prayer or sacrifice, is the Lord's not even, you know, he's not there. I mean, it was even stated in the spirit of prophecy during the time of the pioneers that the Lord had already left, especially after 1888 when they rejected righteousness, Christ our righteousness. And some people say, well, why did she stay? Why did she stay? Well, for the same reason Jeremiah stayed, to warn the people. They used that excuse that, you know, she stayed, and so we got to stay. Well, if you want to believe that, then you're going to have to deny your Bible. It's just like with the people that say the law was abolished at the cross. You're doing the same thing. You know, you're twisting that which is written. And so they're unclean, and the Lord's not hearing them. And just as he has thrown the dung of their sacrifices in their faces as a testimony against them, they will be shaken out with all that filth upon them, for they are just as filthy as the dung itself, and only worthy of the dunghill. And that dunghill is soon to be global in size for literally 1,000 years. And some people say, oh no, the people that leave the SDA church are the ones that get shaken out. Well, in a way, you're right. But here's the twist that you didn't see coming. Because a lot of people say that we in the SDR movement started a new denomination, and we never did. They did. And some people get shocked and say, what are you talking about? The SDA Church has been there since the 1800s. I says, no, it hasn't. They changed the church. They changed their statement of faith. They just kept the name so as to sue anybody that uses it. That's why we are called Seventh-day Remnant people, because of Revelation 12:17, or even Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 7. Our statement of faith matches the original one. We didn't change it. They did. It's a sad state of affairs. And so, to be shaken out, the devil twisted it to make it look like you have to leave the SDA Church to be shaken out. But according to prophecy and biblical jurisprudence, if you stay in this Seventh-day Adventist Church, you are then shaken out of the true church. And there's a ton of scriptures and a ton of spirit of prophecy to back that up. But you're not going to hear it from your pulpits. Proverbs 26:2 says, the curse causeless shall not come. Yet many times I've heard some claim, I will be cursed because I stepped away from certain sinners in my life over the years. But how can God curse the obedient? That means the curse causeless shall not come. And so the opposite is true unto those that ignore this perfect instruction from God. For if there is a reason for the curse, just as we have seen that the prophecies come to fruition, so will the prophesied curse come upon those that hold the God of the Bible in contempt, so as to walk with the dying God of this world, who moves their man of sin, who then grants them wealth and power for their obedience unto him, as well as their building the image unto him, the beast, with their 501c3 contracts, and the Seventh-day Adventist Church even sends tithings to the Pope, because they are now part of the One World Church, and that's part and parcel to being that, to being a member of that church. And yes, I have a video with the actual Seventh-day Adventist letterhead contracts of them sending the money to the Pope. It's on my YouTube page. It's also on SDAApostasy.org. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 10 to 11 declares, say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked! It shall be ill with them, or with him. For the reward of his hands shall be given him. Yet these leaders in the churches from every denomination known to man are defiant by their actions. By their actions, they openly ignore the word of God so as to obey their creed that their dying God has written for them via the wolves on their pulpits. And when you look at the, like, any creed, I mean, it's not just the SDAs, they all got these strange creeds out there that, you know, like the people that say Jesus isn't God, the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. Their creed says you got to remove 1 John 5:7. So rip it out of the Bible, otherwise our creed doesn't hold water. So they won't change their creed, but they will change their Bible. Political correctness has now become their gospel. And so another Jesus has come to mind, just as was prophesied. And soon, when the obedient people of God receive the refreshing of the Holy Spirit that the people in the fallen churches, because when we get that latter rain and go forth in the loud cry, these apostate leaders are going to conjure their dying God to stand as Messiah, whether they know it or not. They're going to conjure Satan to stand on earth as Messiah for the sole purpose of quenching the Holy Spirit by which we go forth in unison to proclaim present truth as it was never been declared before. There's no denying where all this is leading, brothers and sisters. Soon as we will go forth to echo the word of Jeremiah, who said in Jeremiah 6:19, hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. And they're all doing it, including the SDAs. They all keep Sunday holy. They all deny his word. They all embrace Sabbath of Rome. They all embrace pagan festivals and think nothing of it when Deuteronomy was plain in regards to that. Don't do as these people that I have destroyed have done before you. And they do it. I mean, have you ever heard the saying that what goes around comes around? Many use that statement as a way to mock the reality of how mankind is dealt with during their lifetimes when they do wicked things. I mean, every wicked deed will backfire onto he or she that has put it forth. Yeah, we've seen it our whole lives. Some, myself included, have seen this happen many times over unto those that have come against God's people. They seek to destroy us financially. They become homeless. They seek to uplift themselves above the truth we preach so as to belittle God's people. They give up and embrace Catholicism and even atheism. We've even seen people that have left our number go into the Catholic Church and then declare us a cult, or even become atheists and declare a spirit of prophecy, false prophecies. And yes, sadly, some will seek to kill us, and yes, some of them have died. If you recall, when Jacob followed his mother's advice to defraud his brother, it caused him much grief in the days ahead, didn't it? The symbolism is off the chart here, but suffice it to say, for the sake of time, Jacob, who should have trusted his Lord, in the same way Adam should have trusted to replace Eve, Jacob should have trusted his Lord to bring about the promise already proclaimed. Instead, he chose to follow the forceful lead of his mother. Is not the church depicted as a woman in prophecy? And has not the church throughout history moved billions of Christians to embrace every sin known to man, just like Eve handed Adam the fruit? Yes, this has been reality. And it is doing that very thing today in all the churches, and especially the one who is blessed with the gift of prophecy in the ninth hour, only to relinquish it so as to bring about the final prophesied state of the church, in which we, as obedient people, know to be the remnant of her seed, or as many know her today, the Seventh-day Remnant movement of the people seeking to be part of that long prophesied Gideon band. Our God says in Isaiah 57 verses 15 to 21, he says this: "For thus saith the high and lofty one, one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. For the spirit should fail before me and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." And I praise the Lord that we have a way to learn by that which Jacob experienced. Jacob knew of his sin, and it distressed him greatly for 20 years. But he repented, as did every one of you that walked away from that woman or apostate church, no matter what the denomination, that church that moved you to sin against your God, that moved you to place that church above his will. He said, "Come out," and you said, "Stay in." But you came out. And so, yes, those of us that learn to overcome to such a point, we know that we will be part of the number in the last moments of Earth's history. We know that we too will have to deal with what we know to be the time of Jacob's trouble in the coming days. The same experience is to be repeated in the history of God's people, wherein sinfulness has brought them to a place of retribution, and then perfect repentance. I mean, because this is what Isaiah is talking about here. Perfect repentance, because we not only have eyes that see and know what we're looking at, we also have a heart after God's own heart. This love will move the perfect number of 144,000 people, obedient Christians, Sabbath-keeping Christians, to bear the fruit. And they don't have to be Seventh-day Remnant. We're just a small number in our little area of the world. There's a lot of people out there that are going to do it the way we do it, because we're brothers and sisters in the faith. And so this love is going to move that perfect number to bear the fruit of righteousness unto life, because we love him that much that we seek to do all we can to glorify him. Living the best life we can and dying in Christ before the plagues come will bless many with a way home. Yes, you know, the martyrdoms. But for the Gideon band, the 144, theirs is a desire that can only be satisfied in doing all that they can to allow the Lord to use them to cause His glory to go forth globally. And they do so without the slightest spark of pride or self-importance, because they know how unrelenting the enemy of souls is that have attacked them in their entire lives, from everything from dress reform to health reform. They know how he's attacked them. And they know that he is the one that started the controversy between Christ and Satan 6,000 years ago. And so they know, standing in the flesh without any desire for the flesh is the only way they can boldly declare Satan has lost, Christ has died, and Christ will come again. I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.